Praise God. Yes, such a good day. Let's praise him this morning. Hallelujah. We love you and give you all glory and all praise. You are so worthy, Lord. We just want to draw close to you, draw nigh to you, Lord. Touch, Lord, each one that is here. Bless, Lord, but with your spirit, your power, your might, Lord. Go into the depths of our hearts, our souls, and our minds today. Teach us your word. Let us understand. Lord, let's worship you and praise you today and just be so thankful for all the things, Lord, that you've blessed us with, sharing this great gospel with so many others. We are so blessed and so privileged. Give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I first want to thank Sister Glover for that beautiful song you sang that was like, I will be what you want me to be. I'll say yes, Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has brought that song to my heart this week, over and over and over, driving and at work and at home. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. It's so amazing. It's just beautiful. And when God gives you a song, and I actually thought, wow, I remembered this song. And then I was like, Lonnie, did Sister Glover sing this song? He's like, yes. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's so rejuvenating. It's so wonderful. I didn't bring my candle today, but I got a gift of a candle from my sister in Canada. And for those of you that have had family that have not been so close to you since you've been in the church, this is a miracle when you get things like this. This candle on the top, it has an emblem of a tree and basically an angel, and it says Earth Angel. And then it read this, and my birthday's coming up at the end of the month, and this is from someone who does not serve God. And it just says, I have heard it said, and I'm sure it must be true, that receiving hugs is really very good for you. So I'm sending you a special birthday candle and a message just for you. You are an earth angel and deserve joy and happiness to last the whole year through. Tell you what. It touched my soul. It just really, from someone, when you've been in a place where you pretty much, your family is like, hasta luego. I don't ever want to see you again. You go to church. You go to church. And they pretty much have nothing to do with you. I tell you what, years and years and years and years, and just praying and loving them and loving them, just loving them. You know, it's made such a huge difference, and I am so thankful. Thankful for what God does through the miles that we're not together. We are physically, I haven't seen her in maybe 5 years, and it wasn't a good visit, but God has done so many great things through his spirit, through many miles where I haven't even heard her voice. It's literally been texting. I haven't heard her voice. She hasn't heard my voice. But you know what? We have a Heavenly Father that we can go to. We can bring our cares and our sorrows and our heartbreak and our family hurts to him, and he hears everything. And I saw a Pinterest post, and it was amazing because it was like, when you pray, this is what you see. And it was a person praying, and their head was down and their hands were up. And what really revealed, it says the next picture, it was like, the Lord was like literally holding that person's hands as they were like praying and their hands were up. And it's just, he is there. He is there. Sometimes we need to see it in a Pinterest post to go slap the side of the face and go, hey, God is with you. He is there for you. He is your Savior. You know what? Isn't he the lover of our souls? He is a lover of our soul. And a couple weeks ago, I had that song, you know, just, I want to be clean. I want to be beautiful for you. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. I just pray that. That's my heart's desire. And it has to be every day. I mean, it must be. I'm so thankful. Today, we're talking about the church in action, and we are the church. Each one of us, we are the church. And the church in action, what that looks like. So today, I think it's a great lesson. Talking about the glorious church, we're going to go on to talk about basically next week even is the church triumphant, the glorious bride of Christ. And today we're going to talk about how it looks to be the church in action. So we're going to take a look in the scriptures, turning to Matthew 28. And our text is in verse 16 through 20. And when you get it, say amen. Amen. Praise God. 28, starting with 16, and it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Remember, this is after the resurrection. Remember, he had been crucified, resurrected. So this was after the resurrection. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Praise God. Jesus commissioned his disciples to take the whole gospel to the whole world, right? We have that same commission. Although the world is a huge place, the world starts with one person. One person. That's what the whole world looks like for our evangelism. And the icebreaker today, and I thought it was so neat, Lonnie's not here, so I asked him what he thought of this question. Besides the gospel, what is the best news you have heard in your life? What would you say, sister?
Found.
Oh, amen. When our brother was lost, not spiritually, but physically lost. Praise God. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That was the best news you've heard. Oh, in the picture. Oh, yes. Mike, do you have that as your screensaver? I'm sorry. No, okay. Anyone else want to share? What's the best news outside of the gospel that you've heard in your life? I know it took Lonnie a minute. Sister.
I think
yes. Praise God. When your children were born, they're healthy, they're whole. Amen. Sister Phoebe. Oh, praise God. When you saw your husband healed, that was the best news, right? You know, or that person from oncology that's getting that news that you are cancer-free.
Well, not only that.
Praise God. Yes, God healing his knee. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Anyone else? Yes, Sister Belinda. Yes, when your mother survived her aneurysm, brain aneurysm. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Did you say that was 2 out of 9? 2 out of 9, you said? 2 out of 9 people passed away in that year. Oh. Wow. And she speaks and she hears. And she could see Shar. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. And that is so recent. Yes. Thank God. I'm so glad to see you this morning and for God's work in your husband's life. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to share? Yes, sister. She was 86, received baptism in Holy Ghost. Praise God. Isn't that the best news? Yes, absolutely. And she did. Oh. Praise God. That is a miracle. Absolutely. Praise God. That is a miracle. Oh, praise God. Anyone else want to share the best news outside of the gospel that you've received in your life? I know I asked, brother, yes. Absolutely. When Phoebe said yes, and praise God. And you know what? When I was asking Lonnie this question, he said the same thing. And I was thinking the same thing when, you know, to have that special person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Absolutely. And then I think, too, like when Sister Sherry said, you know, when your children are born and they're healthy, that's such a blessing. And then I think for me, I was so excited. Of course, why wouldn't I be? When the children received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, I did get to hear Kendra speak in tongues. And I didn't get to hear Kevin. He was in Soldotna Church at the time. But interestingly enough, it was the same minister who was preaching in Kenai at one time. And then years later, same minister in Soldotna, and that was Brother Robinette. I was like, when I hear him, my faith is like, whoa. You know, and I know that faith was just there in such a powerful way. So that's, to me, just one of the greatest things I've heard in my entire life, you know, just that. Praise God. Anyone else want to share? Yes, Mike.
When I found out that Jackson was a boy.
When he found out that Jackson was a boy. Oh, okay. Okay. God told you it was going to be a boy? And oh, you know what? Isn't that amazing? Oh, God's so good. Yes, so good. Anyone else want to share? God's so good. So many great things, you know. There's a story told of a Chinese farmer who had cataracts. He had them removed from his eyes from a Christian mission clinic. A few days later, the missionary doctor looked out his window and noticed the farmer holding the end of a long rope. In a single file holding onto the rope were several dozen of blind Chinese who had been rounded up and led for miles to go to the doctor who worked a miracle on the farmer's eyes. Isn't that amazing? That's how we should be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've heard such good news, and we want to share it with so many, just like this Chinese farmer. Man, he could see. He could see. For not being able to see and then being able to see, why wouldn't he tell all his friends that were not able to see and bring them to the same place so they could get help also? We are so blessed, and we want to share what we have with others so that they can also feel that blessing and that joy. The way we live each day is such a witness for those around us. We may never open the Bible to a certain page and read a scripture, but just our presence and our lives, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we give, the way we share, the way we love one another, hugs, just give of ourselves is going to speak so much of Jesus Christ that there is going to be such a piqued interest in there. They may not even know what it is. It's that stirring inside. It's like, wow, there's something different. And when you're visiting someone like that, you're like, I just want to stay. I don't want to leave. I just want to stay. You've had those Bible studies in your homes where you're like, it started at, 3 o'clock? And it's 9 o'clock now. We've already had a pizza dinner. The children have already gone to bed. And they don't want to leave. And you might have something going on the next day. But you know what? It's the Spirit of God. They are so fascinated by what they're feeling, your home, that environment, the Spirit of God. And maybe they haven't felt it ever. and they're just feeling it for the first time, they just want to stay. So remember that when they do stay longer, because they will come and they will stay. The way we are kind to one another, loving, and live in a way that honors God, people see that. They look at it. They watch. We are a book read of all men, right? We are the ones that can let our relationship with Jesus Christ speak to others in a way that draws them, that it reaches them. Their souls are touched, and they want more of what you have. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Well, how can we sanctify ourselves to God? Making him our number one focus, our number one priority. In the morning, we seek him. In the morning, we go to him for direction. We go to him for protection. We ask him to cover us, our families. We go to him. We put him first in our lives. He's first. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Share the good news. There is only one gospel for all people. And we've got the NAME conference coming up. No matter what the culture, no matter what the background, there is one gospel. Now, this is so interesting because there was a century-long hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. In Jesus' day, the Jews had no dealings. I want everyone to say that out loud. No dealings with the Samaritans. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. And then we find here in John 4:9, where the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, she says to Jesus, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" What Jesus did at this visit really was pivotal, and really it opened the door for the gospel in that region. They would go as far as even walking around the Samaritan territory rather than take a straighter path between Galilee and Jerusalem. They just would not go there. It wasn't happening. And in John 4, it tells a story of the Samaritan woman where Jesus and his disciples came to Jacob's well just outside the town of Sychar about midday. It was hot, and Jesus sat down to rest. His disciples went to go and buy some food. While he was sitting there, there was a woman who came to draw water from the well, and Jesus asked her, "Can I have a drink of water," basically. And the woman was really, she was astonished. She says, "You're a Jewish man, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you possibly ask me for a drink?" And the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't even speak to each other, let alone, "Can I have a drink of water?" They weren't going to share anything together. Cup of water, nothing. Jesus replied, "If only you understood the generosity of God and who it is you are speaking to now, then you would be asking me for life-giving water." Well, you, a Jew, you don't even have a bucket. You don't even have a bucket to draw the water. So where are you going to get the water from? Even this life-giving water? What? The well was given to us, she would probably have said to him, I'm just imagining, by their ancestors, Jacob, many generations ago. He and his children and flocks had all drawn water from this well. Are you saying, get this, are you saying today that you are more important than Jacob? I'd imagine there was a pause there. Jesus says, those of you who drink from this well are going to thirst again. But those of you who drink the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. It will be as if a spring of life-giving water will be bubbling up within. The woman basically said, we may not be able to see it yet, but we're waiting for the Messiah. And when he comes, he's going to make everything clear. This was, I think, just such a pivotal time in all of history for that area and for history. Jesus said, I am he. I am making everything clear to you now. He was telling her that he was the Messiah revealed. She believed him, of course. I mean, when you're in the presence of the Lord, and when you're in the presence of those that have the Holy Ghost filled within them, and it's bubbling over, you feel it. There's a difference in the atmosphere. You feel connected to God. You feel connected. She went back to that town and she told the people there all about Jesus. He knew exactly who I was, she said. You know, the Lord did this, I think, as a great example for us, because everybody deserves to be saved. Everybody. And at that time, the Samaritans weren't even spoken to. Nothing to do with them. And this knowledge, each person walking on this earth has a soul. That soul's going to spend eternity somewhere. And we have the truth. We know what the Bible says to be saved. And we have a great responsibility. It's so great that we have a responsibility to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to say, thankfully, our evangelism in our family, Aaron's here this morning. We started a Bible study with Kevin's friend Maddie this week. Praise God. The great news, even greater than that is my girl said, Mom, can we join in? So we had our first family Bible study where it was Maddie and Kevin and Kendra and Aaron and Lonnie and myself. And Kendra said yesterday she shared with her coworker that we had a family Bible study, and her coworker is like really interested. And she actually came to one of the Easter services when we were at the Soldata Pentecostals. I think she wanted to win the trip to Hawaii, but she came. And Kendra goes, Kristen asked her, she goes, what did you learn anything? Kendra goes, actually, I learned something that I didn't know before. And for the search for truth in the Old Testament, OLD, 3 letters, Testament, 9 letters, 39 books in the Old Testament. And Kendra was like, I didn't know that. And Kristen goes, I learned something new also. That is one small example of just sharing tidbits of God's goodness and just sharing. But with all of that, we look towards eternity because that's what we're living for ultimately. We're preparing our home in eternity. We can't build it with wood and nails and brick, but we can sure build it in a lot of other ways. Absolutely. And in the Search for Truth Bible study, and I forgot where I had read it from even. So when I seen it again, I was like, oh, now I know where that's from. It's the story of how long eternity is, what that looks like. And it's a story of a small sparrow, a bird. If you were to take the entire earth as a whole and imagine it as a steel ball, you guys have good imaginations. It's a steel ball. Every 1,000 years, that little sparrow comes along and brushes its wing across that steel ball. When that steel ball is completely gone, eternity will just be beginning. What an amazing word picture to just see the gravity of how long eternity is. And we're here for a short time, like a vapor, right? Really, it's very short. It's so important to prepare, and it's so important to help others to understand. You know, people you may not understand need Christ. People who are unsavory need Christ. We were hurting at one time. We needed Christ. no matter what our culture, our beliefs, what our economic status is, our lifestyle, every soul needs Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I really like what Mother Teresa said, and I love Mother Teresa's quotes. I love everything. She dedicated her life, just sold out to God. I like what she said about the reaching souls. She said, "Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls." Isn't that great? The world really needs joy, and it really needs love. People need joy. People need love. People need peace. And that's probably, I think peace is one of the greatest things that people struggle with in today's society. There's so much busyness, so many things clamoring for one's attention, one's demands. The gospel is powerful enough to save everyone. Even those, I'm going to say, that have sold out to Satan. And I'll give you examples in scripture. There was a man, Simon, often called Simon Magus, who had many of the Samaritans under a spell of Satan. He used his magic, his trickery, to amaze the masses, and he was obviously a tool of Satan. And I wanted to say, Pastor, I had already written my notes before you did your Thursday night Bible study. I was like, the Lord must have wanted it, so I'm just going to go there. Remember, everywhere there is a strong demonic influence over God's people. Remember this. God's power is stronger. It is stronger. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. You know what? Quote it when you have to walk into it, and you're walking into that darkness, and you feel it, and you know it's there. That power of God is greater than the spirit that you will come into across. It is so much powerful, more powerful. And I would say, if you are working in a job where you go and you are facing a lot of people, you are going to come across a lot of spirits. Pray before you leave your home. Pray that God covers you. And if you have those that come again, this is something my husband actually taught me because of where he works at the prison. He comes across many spirits. And he says, you know, I pray, God, shut the mouth of the devil. And you know what? Make them sleep. They won't even be awake. They'll just be just sleeping. Shut their mouths. And you know what? I tell you what. He has the greatest success with the inmates, because they know that when he's on shift, there's going to be peace. It's going to be quiet. There's going to be no banging on walls, throwing stuff. It's going to be a good stay for them that night or that day. Praise God. They look forward to it. Thank God. You know what? Such a difference. When you get home, do not bring it home with you. Do not walk in the front door with it. You know what? Leave it. Don't take it into your home, because they'll come. You know when it's working on you, because you're driving home and it's like it's recording playing in your mind. Leave it. Don't take it in the house. Plead the blood of Jesus. Cast it back to where it came from. Don't bring it in. And then, okay, we want to get rid of something. We want to replace it with something. God, I'm gonna look to my favorite scripture, whatever that is in your heart. You know it, because you know it by heart. You've memorized it. You've got it on the side of your refrigerator. It's probably on your screensaver on your phone, because it's your favorite one. Put your name in there and claim it. In Jesus' name. And you know what? See the difference that you will feel not having to bring all that garbage in with you from work. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cover that situation, that spirit. So when Jesus met that woman at the well in Samaria, her life was changed. Her life was changed. The Bible says that she immediately ran off to tell others. And Jesus shows us in this story, it didn't matter that she was a Samaritan. He cared for her. We're going to find some people in our lives that we're like, wow, oh, I don't know. And it's uncomfortable. Let uncomfortable be okay. allow the uncomfortable growth in your life to be okay, because you are with God and He is with you. Regardless of whatever it is, the gospel, the good news is for everybody. And as we go on in Acts 8, Philip, and I know the story was shared on Thursday night, went down into the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of those who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Imagine going from that demon-possessed, dark heaviness to joy because they received the word with gladness. However, that same man that we talked about earlier, Simon, the sorcerer, which is the use of black magic, he was practicing, and he was astonished, claiming that, you know, he was astonished when he saw what the men of God could do and offered money. However, but when they believed, he actually believed on the scripture because he was in Samaria. And the scripture says that, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men, women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and he was amazed. That's the point where he was like, man, this is amazing. They're laying on hands and people are receiving the Holy Ghost. I want that. Thank God he did repent and say, because he offered money and Peter said, your money perish with you because the thought of the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion for this matter. And you know what? He said, repent therefore of all your wickedness. And then he said, oh Lord, he said, I want none of those things which you've said, spoken, come upon me. So thank God he had a repentant heart. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of Samaria. In many villages of Samaria, where they would have nothing to do with them originally. They were proclaiming, they were sharing. It all starts with one person. It just starts with one person. And it doesn't mean that you have to get to the place where they are repenting that moment, then they are getting baptized the next 5 seconds. You're planting a seed. You are sharing Jesus Christ. You are sharing His Spirit. You are sharing His love. You are sharing His kindness. You are sharing His joy, because the world is not giving them that at all. They're not getting that. And God will use every opportunity to expand the gospel, even in persecution. So those who had been scattered from persecution, guess what they did? They went about teaching, preaching, proclaiming Jesus Christ. I often think about the stoning of Stephen. Think about how horrible that must have been for the death of Stephen. It must have been grievous, terrible. Yet the believers proclaimed Christ. In Acts chapter 5, you read about the disciples rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for Jesus' name. In Acts 6 and 7, you will read about those of the early disciples, and that was Stephen, who was not afraid to die for his faith. He testified so boldly that wicked men stoned him to death. And that sermon that Stephen preached before he was stoned points to the sovereign abundance of God towards sinners, but also against the danger, get this, of hardening our hearts against God's grace. Wow. Even at that time, Saul, before he became Paul, he was there participating, holding the coats of those who throw rocks at Stephen. And I can imagine in later days, as Saul, who then became Paul, would hear that message probably in his soul, because that message that Stephen preached that day. People had just seen what could happen if you preach Jesus Christ. Stephen was stoned to death. Wow. You know what? It didn't stop them. They continued to share the seed of the gospel, sowing wherever they went. And it wasn't just the apostles. I hate to say it was the everyday believer. It was the everyday believer who went about preaching. They went about talking about the Savior everywhere they went. Some, like Philip, were gifted to preach to crowds, but everybody was a witness. Everyone. Praise God. We know through the Bible, we see people that have God's used. He uses ordinary people. I'm so not even halfway through my notes. Oh, this is just so bad. I'm so bad. I get so excited. I'm like, oh, I just want to have so much stuff. Oh, anyway, I'm looking at the clock going, okay, God uses ordinary people. He used Abraham. He was old in years, and he was promised a son. God used him. Joseph was abandoned, abused by his brothers, left, forsaken by family. God used him. Moses had a speech problem and was like constantly going to God, but God, I can't do anything for you. I can't talk. Okay, well, he used his brother Aaron. God used him. Rahab was a prostitute. God used her. David was a murderer. God used him. Jonah couldn't run far enough from God. He was literally just couldn't run far enough. God used him. Paul in the New Testament, he was a Pharisee that was persecuting the Christians, killing them. God used him. They all had something in common. They all did. They all chose to obey the call of God. And they were used of God. We can have that same thing in common. We can choose to obey the voice and call of God, and God will use us. Absolutely. Proclaiming the gospel, and I have to come to a wrapping close. Proclaiming the gospel brings absolute joy where it is received. Joy. It brings joy to your family. It brings joy to your church. It brings joy to your workplace. And I had this question in my heart. It was like, when we're ministering to people, do we treat people that we minister to better than our own family? Question mark. Yeah. Proclaiming the gospel is going to bring joy. Remember how it felt when you received God's forgiveness? There's nothing that you can compare it with. Absolutely nothing. We are all qualified as born-again believers to proclaim the gospel. We don't have to have had a Bible college degree. We don't have to be a full-time, part-time preacher, evangelist, missionary, teacher. Every one of us who has been born again, spirit-filled, baptized in Jesus' name, we can proclaim and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those. We have something they don't have. And we have that. It's something we get to share. It's a beautiful thing. Praise God. I'm going to close with Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Oh, I guess I have a couple more minutes. How then, joy, joy, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I say preacher in text of Bible, but I mean anyone who is a believer of Jesus Christ, sharing God's great, great gospel. What's the value of a soul? What's the value of a soul? I had a little note here. What would you give or give up if you could pay for the salvation of one of your family members? Everything. Everything. That's what I put down, sister. I put everything. What would I give up that they could be saved? And yet, we don't have to give up everything. We can give them Jesus Christ. We can share Jesus Christ with them. Genesis says in Genesis 1, 26, 27, you are made in the image of God. God has breathed into you the breath of life. When Jesus was teaching, he said that the human soul is worth more than the entire world or universe. If a man gains everything in this material world or universe, it still isn't enough to trade in exchange for his soul. Every soul is precious to God, so much so that the gospel should be, on our part, offered to everyone. God is no respecter of persons, thank God. Every soul is precious in his sight, every soul. And then I would say, let's talk a minute about that Holy Ghost living inside of us. So thankful for his Spirit, because that Spirit is going to draw. It's going to draw and entreat people. It entreats us to be more like him. God, help me to be more like you. His Spirit, it renews our mind. This is Scripture. It tells us what it does. His Spirit is our comforter in those times of sadness and grief and trauma and tragedy. His Spirit convicts us of our sin. Praise God. His Spirit is our purification. It protects us. It reveals supernatural things to us that we would never get otherwise through his Spirit. It teaches us. It does so much. And we want to share that with others. But there's so many other things that we will never know what his Spirit does until we make heaven our eternal home. And you know what? Lord, your love, your Spirit is better than life. Your word is better than food. Your presence is our sustenance. Sharing that the word, sharing the gospel with others is allowing our Spirit to flow through us. And I'll give you an example. We use an illustration of a water hose. So the water hose gets filled up from the spigot, right? The source. When it's working properly, it flows out. You wash your cars, whatever. But if there's a little kink or a cap on the end of that flow, nothing's coming out, even if you've got it wide open, right? Okay. Nothing can flow out, which means no more can flow in. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are allowing the flow to flow in from the Lord and flow out to others. Allow it to be a continual refreshing. We don't want stagnant, nasty. We want beautiful, flowing, crystal, sparkly, good joy. God is so good. God bless you today. We will worship and praise him today. And I love you all very much. And let's just greet one another in Jesus' name. Amen.